Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
And on our Saturday panel today, we have Laois footballer and club hurler John O'Loughlin, Wexford hurling captain Matthew O'Hanlon, All-Ireland winning hurler with Clare Colin Ryan, and the former Offaly captain Brian Carroll. So it is a packed studio this afternoon. Thanks for coming in, lads. So we're going to talk about the changes to the All-Ireland Hurling Championship, what it means for those of you still playing inter-county football and hurling, and really what it means for club players. This all came in last Saturday at the Special Congress. We're now going to have a round robin in Leinster and Munster. 10 teams in that. We'll have a second tier competition as well. The winners of that can go on and play in a sort of preliminary All-Ireland quarterfinal. It gets quite complicated. It means that there's going to be a new season put in place. April, it seems, is going to be dedicated to the club player, a seismic change in an organisation. That change seems to happen slowly. This almost came out of the blue in a way, that we're having such a radical overhaul of the Hurling Championship. If you are a club player or an inter-county player, you want to get in touch, 53106 is the text number. Colin, you've decided to pack in the old inter-county game just yesterday.
Yeah, I suppose having the year out, I got to kind of see what things were like maybe on the other side, but no, like, the lads were very good to me last year and giving me some time to think about it and stuff like that, but you know, I've no regrets after the decision I made and was happy with everything I'd done, and you know, enjoyed the club game maybe a bit more, you know, being around the club lads, living at home and stuff like that. So yeah, decision, you know, finally came yesterday. I suppose I let Donal and Jerry know on Monday, so it was time, I think, to just draw a line under it and move on.
Why did you take the year out?
I suppose there's so much going on. I think the amount of time commitment given to it all is phenomenal, and I suppose I had a young fella on the way in March, and you know, I was kind of thinking that I'd like to spend a bit more time at home, and I suppose maybe the year I had before that, and you kind of look at it, you know, you're not starting and you're kind of looking at going, is all the time worth it? So I reflected on that. I kind of said, you know, at some stage you kind of look at your age and you kind of want to be playing matches all the time and not the training that goes with it. So it became more and more, I think, since I started in 07, you know, it kind of steamrolled, and I just looked at it and kind of felt like maybe the balance in my life wasn't right, so I was glad I did it.
Can you give the comparison then in terms of hours, in terms of dedication, from when you started out in 07 to 2013, 2014?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's probably lads here, you know, the same, 07.
02.
The landscape was very different, you know. Like, you arrived to training, I think, and, you know, you put in your hour and a half, and, you know, you came back on a Thursday and you put in your hour and a half, and you might have arrived, you know, 5 minutes before training started, and, you know, we're togged out and ready to go. Whereas now, you know, I just remember, I suppose, the last couple of years, you know, you're there a half an hour before training, you're foam rolling, you're, you know, getting snacks in, you're getting physio, you're practicing freeze, you're doing stuff, and then maybe, you know, you train for an hour and a half and then there's a meeting for half an hour after it. So, like, you know, you could be away from home from 3 hours, you know. I'm sure John could probably tell more about travelling and stuff like that. Like, he's probably away for longer.
Yeah, well, I'm living up in Dublin, so it's an hour to Port Laois. But, yeah, as you said, since I started playing in 2008, there's been an additive every year, you know, in terms of professionalism. The sports science aspect has really taken hold of Gaelic games, which is good in a sense, which is great in a sense. But as Colin said, it's a huge commitment. It's brilliant when you're winning and all that, but when you're not winning and it's times like that, you have to question it. But look, the way I see it is, in a couple of years' time, we won't physically be able to play, or I won't, you know, and I want to get the most out of it while I'm still able to do it.
What's an average week like for you, say, May, just as you're getting into the Championship?
Same as any other inter-county player, I suppose. Monday, you're going to do a gym session. Tuesday, you're on the pitch. As Colin said, you're trying to be there an hour before training, do your session, whatever you have to do after the session, get your recovery. Wednesday is probably gym / foam rolling upper body. Thursday is back on the pitch. Friday is general recovery. And then you're out on the Saturday or Sunday. But I suppose it consumes your life. You know, Gaelic games around that time of year, it dictates your form, I suppose, and all that. And as I said, it's brilliant when you're winning. When you're not, it probably leaves you not in the best of form. But look, we all play games because we love them and we want to get the most out of them.
Are you travelling down to Laois 4 or 5 days a week?
No, we can do our gym sessions in Dublin, the Dublin Blaze players, and I think that's hugely important. You know, if you're going down an hour and 10 minutes to do an hour gym session when you can do it 5 minutes from your home. It's a huge advantage, you know. I think if you were going down 4 or 5 times a week, probably it would be very difficult, you know, to keep up.
And are you in with the club during the week?
No, I go back to the club when intercounty is over, where, you know, like all intercounty players, you play the odd league game. And it's great to get back playing with the club. It's refreshing nearly, you know, because it's not as serious and it's a nice environment. And then obviously when the intercounty season's over, you're back on health letter with the club.
The changes, Matthew, like, you can divide the country into hurling people and non-hurling people. I would come from a non-hurling background and I look at these changes and I gotta say, I think it's great. We have the best teams playing each other every week. The hurling championship is always one of the highlights of the summer. The quality of hurling is brilliant, seems to get better every season, and now we're going to have 5-6 weeks of continuous, the top 8, 9, 10 teams in the country meeting each other all the time. Are you in favour of it?
Yeah, I have to say, when I heard the changes, I was, you know, when it took a little bit of time to think it through, but I think it's great. You know, if you ask any intercounty hurler, what do they want? They want to play more games. And this way, you're guaranteed at least 4 championship games, where in any other season, you're only guaranteed at least 1 or 2. And it's great to have, I suppose, the top teams playing each other week in, week out. And I think the home and away element to it will be a nice added feature. But the only thing I will say is that, I suppose, when it comes to knockout championship, that championship feeling that when you win, the other team is gone, that element will be lost a small bit. So, for example, we beat Kilkenny in Leinster Championship and we knew Kilkenny were into qualifiers. But if we beat them in the round robin next year, they still could get back and we could meet them in a provincial final. So it'd be interesting to see how that works out. But I'm in favour for it. It's going to be more top quality games and, you know, every player wants to play the top teams.
Do you think it's going to be a massive change to how your season goes, how your year is planned out? Because, like, the Hurling League isn't really preparation. That's pretty hardcore as well as it develops. So you're going from 2 months of Hurling League into a month of club action and then straight back into 5-6 games. Whereas previously you could sort of plan out your summer in terms of, our first game is the middle of May. We probably won't have another game for 3-4 weeks, whether we win or lose. We know we'll have 4 or 5 games over the course of the summer. Now you're starting thinking fitness wise, we need to be able to peak 5-6 times between May and June. Is it going to be a big change?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you look at when teams are focusing on, there's probably 2 stages or 2 halves to the championship. There's the league and then the championship. So you train to perform in the league and then by the end of the league you're back to your club and then you have another burst to get ready for championship. But now, I suppose, the league is always going to be ultra competitive and you want to play in the top tier, so that's going to be week in, week out. And then the first rounds of the championship will be the same. So I think you put a bigger emphasis on the panel and the strength of panels and making sure that, I suppose, if you're playing a game every 1 to 2 weeks, there's going to be changes from week to week, and it's the importance of the strength and depth there as well is going to come into it.
Brian, are you a happy club hurler? Do you feel you're getting a fair crack at a whip?
I don't think this is really going to affect Offaly's championship, but I suppose, just to go back to Matthew's point, like, as a former hurler, I would have been delighted when I was a player that you were going to be guaranteed more hurling. That's what it was all about. It was the training to game ratio was all wrong. You know, you could go 2, 3, 4 weeks, no real meaningful match on the horizon, and being honest, you got sick of training, and it really just drained you. So from a player's perspective, that's exactly what you want. You want more games, you want more meaningful games, and playing against the top teams, you know, week in, week out, that's exactly what you want. But I suppose, to put another spin on it from a supporter's point of view, or maybe a club player's point of view, you know, you are talking about diminishing the Leinster and Munster Championship in terms of the knockout games. I think we need a change. We certainly did, and you know, you have to embrace change when it's been brought forward. But maybe I would have liked to have seen the knockout element of the Leinster and Munster Championship remain. I think that is what added to the Championship. I think we'll see a completely different dynamic, particularly in Munster. You know, I think the Munster hurlers and Munster people pride themselves on that championship, and I think that element of might be lost. Maybe we're wrong, obviously time will tell, but I would have probably liked to see change happen at the All-Ireland series as opposed to at a provincial level.
Are Offaly the big losers out of this change as it currently stands? Like, you look at the quality of the other 9 teams that are in there, and the standard in Offaly at the moment, without being harsh, like, they could take 3 or 4 right batterings and suddenly they have to go into a relegation playoff. It's going to be a difficult summer for Offaly, you'd imagine.
Yeah, it certainly is. And again, this opens up the other window. Like, Offaly next year are guaranteed, you know, decent games. Obviously, they mightn't have much of an opportunity to win many games, but you're looking at maybe a yo-yo effect for the likes of Offaly, Laois, Westmeath. You know, it's going to be... you know, one season up, maybe one season down, and that's going to be the way it's going to pan out for a couple of years. I probably feel most for Kerry. I think it's very unfortunate that even if they top their group, that they're not even guaranteed to get into the Munster Championship. So that probably was huge disappointing. I don't think it was extremely fair to have that you know, provision that, you know, if they win the group, that they have to play the bottom team in Munster. So, you know, it seems to be one rule for one and another for another, and it seems to be protect the top teams at all costs. So that probably was disappointing.
Yeah, the powerhouses, I think, kind of you know, determined what was going to happen there. Like, you know, like, you know, you could see the five teams in Munster were never going to agree to, you know, be going down, and they needed their support, I think, to get this over the line. But I don't think it's going to help the underdog in the long run. You know, while they will get more games, you know, it will be hard for them. And the other side of it is then, like, is it very similar to the National League?
Yep.
Like, and that's another question I think supporters will be kind of asking, I think, as it goes along. Whereas, you know, if they kept the knockout element and maybe, you know, as Brian said, brought in something different at All-Ireland Series, it might have helped a bit more. But at the minute, they just look very similar, and it's kind of like...
The Camogie have a very good way of doing it. They have their provincial championships, and then they have the All-Ireland Series, and I think ladies football and Camogie, they do a lot of things that the GAA could maybe take and learn from and help evolve, because we're all looking for change, and there has been change, and still people are nitpicking because it doesn't seem to be the perfect change. Maybe there's never going to be a perfect change, but I think there's scope there for something better in Gaelic games, both hurling and football.
Yeah, I think Eamon O'Shea actually had a very good model he brought out at the end of the league, where he was proposing that the provincial championships stay as they are, knockout, and then after that actually open up four groups of four. You know, we only have 15, 16 hurling teams in the country, let's be honest, and no disrespect to any of the rest of the counties. And, you know, you were guaranteed two strong teams and two what would perceive weaker teams in each group. They play out, the top two teams in each group go to, say, the A quarterfinals, and the bottom two go to B quarterfinals. And that's guaranteeing you, you know, your provincial, your championship, you're guaranteed at least one game of that, you're guaranteed, you know, three group games, and then you're into a realistic championship, a chance of winning something. And a chance to hurl into July, August. You know, over the, particularly from my perspective, in the last couple of years, I only hurled in July once or twice over the last couple of years. Maybe when I started out, it was different. But, you know, I never hurled in All-Ireland semi-final. I never got an opportunity to hurl in August, let alone hurl in September.
Did any of the four of ye, at any stage over the last year or so, have any input, any conversations with county board officials or anybody about structure of the hurling championship?
Yeah, I've had quite a few opportunities to speak with Offaly County Board, but, you know, I think Offaly, to their credit, they kind of realised that these groups were going to come in, but they did propose the provision for the top two teams in the so-called weaker group, the bottom five, to at least get play in a preliminary quarter final. So that was some carrot, you know, for the bottom tier, probably, to at least they have an opportunity. So Offaly did look at that side of it.
I think Munster was kind of different. I think, you know, there wasn't much talk about it in Clare, I think, because, you know, I think Clare, Limerick, Waterford, Cork and Tipperary were all kind of, you know, concentrating on their own, and they kind of knew maybe that the GAA wasn't going to really touch them that much, so there wasn't going to be as much change maybe, or it wasn't going to affect maybe Clare as much as, you know, the underdog or, you know, somebody like Offaly who were trying to develop every year and trying to get back up to that level. So there wasn't as much talk about it in Clare, no, there wasn't as much opportunity.
How many club games have you played this year, Matthew?
Between hurling and football, would have played probably 12. So the way it works is Wexford, there's 12 teams in each division, two groups of six, and you play top four, go through to a quarterfinal. So reached a quarterfinal in the football and didn't get through in the hurling. But I suppose they copied models from other counties that I think it's a good championship, but the way we work it is two games in April, and then you play the remainder of the club games whenever Wexford finish up in championship. So that was for us from August onwards.
The new calendar seems to be, so we'll have National League from end of January through February and a league final at the end of March. Then April, there'll be a window for club fixtures. The new round robin will start in the second week in May, continue all the way into July when we'll have the All-Ireland semi-finals, and then the All-Ireland final brought forward to the middle of August. So April is dedicated for club games. If you've played 2 months of league and you have 2 months of championship coming back, and this is the tough question that inter-county players have to answer, do you really want to be going back playing two, what are big for your mates, these are probably big important club championship games in the middle in April?
Obviously, we were talking about this before we came in here, and I think it's going to be really difficult. If you put your inter-county manager hat on, you're playing National League for 2 months, and then you've got a month off, and then you're going straight into a new championship where you're going to be playing four games with close together. No inter-county manager is going to let an inter-county panel go the whole month of April without training. Let's be honest about it. And if they're saying that April month is going to be for club games, yeah, club games will go ahead, but what will happen is inter-county training will still be going on. And I think that's going to be a problem going into next season.
Yeah, they're going to burn the candle on both ends, yeah. I think, you know, and there's so much pressure on inter-county managers at the moment that obviously they want to start well in that round robin, so they're going to be looking at it going, and every county is different then, you know, like Matthew's talking about two groups of six in Wexford, like we have kind of a knockout format, so like if you lose two games in April, you're out of the championship pretty much. You know, you're coming back in August playing a relegation battle, and like, you know, people are looking at that going, you know, do you really want to be out of the championship in April?
Is the obvious thing to do just to condense the seasons? Like, it's been muted before that there's a club season and an inter-county season, but does that not sound really obvious? Because club players are going to be going then for April, and then they're 3 months off trying to peak again August roughly, and, you know, cut out that month of April for the club and condense the league, maybe 2 weeks off after the league, and then get into your championship and finish the championship at the start of August, maybe. It sounds
I think it's revenue though, isn't it? I think the GA is looking at revenue, and they're like
there's player welfare too. I think it's going to get to a stage where lads are going to say, listen, enough's enough here, you know, are we getting enough out of it for what we're putting into it?
No, but that's the way we run it in Offaly as well, similar to Matthew. We play two rounds in April, but literally it shuts down for May and June, and it's, you know, it's a crazy situation from a player's perspective, and the club managers are absolutely tearing their hair out because, you know, they're calling training, and next minute there's seven or eight guys turning up to training, and it's, you know, it's a vicious circle because everybody's frustrated in situations like that. And, you know, you're dead right, you're trying to peak twice, you know, you go back in January, you know, some clubs are gone mad altogether, going back in November and December for these games in April, you know, so you have to question, where are we going with this? Like,
well, the line you used there was, you have a month off, so, but it's not a month off, because there's going to be a massive pull from everybody within your club to come back and play these couple of important games. And like, we've spoken to a lot of inter-county players, pretty much all off the record, who've said, to be honest, I just feel like I don't want to play for the club during the season, that when I get to 31, 32, I'd love to give my full commitment, but everybody, club's giving you the eye going, he's the inter-county star now, he doesn't want to come out, he doesn't want to play in the club league games, even when he's got a couple of weeks off from the inter-county setup. Like, you've been pulled every way, there's no real winning here. I can't imagine, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, that if the league goes well for Wexford and you get to a final, you get to a semi-final, that David Fitzgerald is going to want you playing two club games in April if you have Kilkenny in the first round of a round robin on the 13th of May. Yeah. And that's not just Davy Vince who's going to be like that.
I think any manager in that situation would be, you know, hesitant to let their players back to play there.
And he'd be dead right.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I think the hardest job in GA is actually the club manager.
Mm.
I think they are, you know, they deserve a fierce amount of credit. I think they have a phenomenally hard job in trying to...
I think we're actually making too much of that, being honest. You know, I actually used to enjoy going back to heart of the club. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that, what you could call a month off. I enjoyed releasing yourself from the pressure of the inter-county scene and going back to what it was all about and playing with your club and knowing that you had a couple of weeks with your club and then refocus for the championship with Offaly. And the other side of it is, and let's be honest, for the most dominant team over the last decade and a half, Kilkenny, they never see any problem with it. And, you know, Cody prides himself in the fact that the players are club players first and foremost, and you're being released from your club to go represent your county. You know, when you went back and you played good club championship, and you know, you might dip in and out of training with the county, but at the end of the day, you had to perform for your club. And being honest, I think we've kind of lost a little bit of that. And, you know, it goes back again, if you're talking about having a month to prepare for the county, but you're already been preparing since November or December. Like, what much more do you want? Like, in terms of, it's overdone, really.
Brian, I think it's easier for the likes of Kilkenny, who are winning so much and they're guaranteed to be in Leinster final. They can plan out their year from the start of the year, say, this is what we're going to do. So I think it's a bit easier, whereas if Cody was facing the qualifiers or things like that, or not such a smooth track, would it be as easy for Kilkenny to do all that and preach all that they've done? And it's very admirable and it's great, but I think it's because they've been so successful, like, it's a clearer path for them.
Yeah, we have Derek Kavanagh on the line. Derek is the CPA's fixtures coordinator. Derek, good to talk to you. I know you got a big meeting coming up on Tuesday, is it, with the CCCC? What's going to be on the table? Yeah. We seem to have lost Derek. Derek, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Ah, Derek, sorry. I was just asking you there. You've got a big meeting coming up with Croke Park on Tuesday. What is it that's going to be on the table?
Well, we are meeting with the CCCC on Tuesday. An outcome from the Special Congress last week was kind of given the direction that we would engage with them. So we got organising a meeting. Now we had hoped it would consist of a series of meetings that we would get active involvement in kind of deciding how the fixture list will be mapped out next year. But unfortunately, we've kind of got an answer back from Fergal McGill and his team who's chairing that CCCC, is that it'll only be a one-off meeting, which we're very disappointed with, really, because we've put a lot of time into mapping out the potential alternatives for fixtures next year. But I think, you know, maybe I'm being negative here, but I think it's just a kind of a tick-the-box exercise from GAA and Croke Park, really, just to be seen to be engaging with us and keeping us happy, because we had hoped that we would set up a forum or kind of an ongoing process to work with the CCCC to represent the players in a better way. But unfortunately, it's a one-off meeting, so I'm not holding out much hope that it's going to be anything positive comes out of Tuesday.
Right. You are going to attend the meeting, though, are you?
We are, yeah. And we actually had a response from Fergal McGill here, and I quote it like this. He says, "It is important that you being the Club Players Association, that you understand that this is indeed a one-off meeting to present your ideas." And he goes on further to say, "It is not part of some ongoing process or forum with the CCCC." So that's very, you know, we're getting off to the wrong footing straight away. And I think it's kind of condescending towards the Club Players Association, and it's very much condescending towards the club player.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make any sense at all, because we have four current, former inter-county players in all who have different situations. Like, there's 100 different angles to finally reaching an overarching GAA, inter-county and club calendar that really you can't sort out in the space of a couple of hours.
Exactly, you know, and it's pure optics, really, when you look at this. And I think I think we're all big enough and bold enough here and around the GAA long enough to know that, look, they're kind of playing silly burgers here. It's kind of, look, yeah, they can come out and say that they've engaged with the Club Players Association. Of course they can, because there'll be an official meeting and everyone will know about it on Tuesday. But what can we get done in an hour or two or three? If that meeting goes on for 8 hours, what the hell can we get out of it if it's only a one-off? So, you know, it's disappointing, but, you know, it's not going to deflate us. We're still very much energised by our executive leadership, and we're still much energised by the feedback we're getting from clubs and players on the ground. So we're going to be working hard and lobbying hard on behalf of the club players.
Do you have an overarching plan, a fixtures calendar already in mind, something that you think can solve a lot of the problems that you can bring into that meeting on Tuesday?
Well, several. Like, I mean, we started off with quite radical changes. You know, we're all great to sit down and think about the, you know, euphoria kind of scenario that could be the GAA with knockout, you know, league structures, etc., and, you know, giving adequate time for clubs, etc. We have radical changes, and we have kind of more smaller changes that can be done kind of gradually over the next couple of years. We have lots of options, a lot better than what's there. But, you know, we sent these plans out actually to 32 counties on a registered letter, and not one county board responded. So it just goes to show, like, that there's a serious level of incompetence across county boards in general. So in one hand, like, you know, Croke Park are probably right, because as they said to us in the last one of the meetings I attended, Bart Duffy and Fergal McGill actually said the words, look, county boards are lying to themselves. And, you know, that's the reality of it. Like, but I mean, the leadership, who is ultimately responsible for the county board, like, how can they continually stand over this and preside over it? Because, you know, you've got a combination of GAA in terms of Croke Park and county boards that they've presided over chaotic fixtures for a full generation. And Pádraig Duffy now is coming into his 10th year of leadership of the GAA. And you have club players up in arms. And that's 100% almost of the adult playing population up in arms that they don't have the most basic of requirements such as a fixtures list. That's all we're asking for. We're not asking for payment. We're not asking for expenses. We're not asking for fancy playing facilities. We're asking for a fixtures list. And that's, you know, listening to the comments last week when the GAA were kind of, there was a lot of patting on the back for how brave the GAA were last week for changing the hurling structure. They are attaching a master fixtures list when it's really only an inter-county calendar they're mapping out. And I refuse to accept the word a master fixtures list if it's not factoring in the clubs. We had Aigeán O'Farrell mentioned last week in a GAA interview from Croke Park, and he mentioned that there's 26 free weekends for the clubs next year. An hour later, I heard Fergal McGill say there's 24 free weekends for the clubs next year. So which is it? And, you know, if you scratch the surface there, how could they know? If the inter-county schedule has not yet been fully mapped out, how do they know? They're bluffing. They're winging it, and they're just saying these random things like there's free weekends for clubs. I mean, are the 24 or the 26, whatever it is, are they blocks of weeks that can be meaningfully used by county boards? Are they one-off weeks in between championship games, which in effect turn out to be nothing more than a rest weekend for the inter-county team? So, you know, I just get the feeling they're winging it, and, you know, it's not acceptable.
You mentioned Pádraig Duffy there. Have you been having meetings with Pádraig Duffy over the past few months?
We did at the start. Club Players Association got off, launched in January, and kind of got off to meaningful engagement, really, with Pádraig Duffy. And there was a series of meetings that happened. But really, kind of, if I was to summarise it, really, I found the Croke Park quite condescending towards Club Players Association. They don't want us in existence. They don't want us making any noise. And they just want us to go away. We've asked to be part of the CCCCC and how they do their business and to engage with them in a meaningful way. And the very fact that we're being invited up for one meeting and one meeting only just goes to show that they're not treating the Club Players Association or the club players in any serious way at all.
Most of the conversations we had when the Club Players Association was set up, that it was going to be quite conciliatory, that you didn't want to be on a direct collision course with the GAA. With what's happened then, and this news that you're going to get one shot basically to go and impress the CCCC on Tuesday, is it getting towards a stage with the attitude that you feel the GAA are showing towards you that club players are going to have to take and start considering taking some sort of a stand?
Yeah, we have to. And, you know, to be fair to the likes of Pádraig Duffy and Fergal McGill, they've told us nothing but that the GAA is a democratic association, which it is, and we're just going to have to go the democratic way. We're going, and that's the power of the Club Players Association, is because we don't have this filter of the incompetence of county boards. We can connect clubs. We've got almost 25,000 members, so that's hundreds and thousands of clubs that we can now access, and we can go back to grassroots, and we can bring meaningful motions forward in hundreds and thousands of clubs and bring it up the democratic way. And that's going to be our approach, and that's the only way to do it. And as Pádraig Duffy and Fergal McGill tells us, it's a democratic association, so we will use democracy and we will use the clubs to bring about change.
But if you do feel there's almost an attitude of contempt towards the CPA from within Croke Park and from the CCCC, why go on Tuesday? Why even engage with them if it seems pretty clear they don't have much interest in what you got to say?
Because they said last week that they have a master fixtures list. Maybe it's only in draft form, but maybe we might get a sneak peek of a master fixtures list, which I suspect is an inter-county fixtures list. We want to go and find and see if it's there, see what it looks like. For Aigeán O'Farrell mentions 26 weeks. Fergal McGill mentions 24 weeks free for clubs next year. I want to see it. I want to see what it looks like.
How many weeks do you want?
Probably something that's meaningful. Blocks of weeks. Blocks of weeks that you can work with, that you can have a round or two of championship together. Like, I mean, you know, there's lots that you can do. Like, I spent 10 minutes yesterday on Google, right? And I went on to Cork GAA board, Kerry, Dublin, Mayo, and just looked at just a quick 10-minute look of the fixtures that have gone on this year. Like, the average waiting time between rounds of championship in Cork in the senior football championship was 15 weeks. The Bars, Fenton Bars, who were playing county final next week, had a wait of 17 weeks between rounds. Dublin, around the championship last week was played up in Dublin, The last round played before that was 20 weeks previous on the 13th of May. Just a snapshot of Kerry. Went in and looked across. They had 18-week delay between two consecutive rounds in the Senior Football Championship. 23-week delay between their club championship. Now, are all of the county boards wrong? Because Pádraic Duffy says county boards are a law unto themselves. But are they all wrong? Are they all incompetent? I don't know, really, do you know? I just don't think every county board can be making these catastrophic failures on behalf of their clubs with 20-week delays between games. You know, it's just not on. And you can't continue with this buffer between Croke Park and the county boards. County boards blame Croke Park. Croke Park blame county boards. So, I mean, look, between a combination of them, you know, there's a massive failure. And if you leave the same people, if the same people are left to their own devices, they will continue to make the same mistake. And there's nothing changing here. We've tweaked the hurling championship for next year. We've tweaked the football championship for next year. Yes, there's been 2 weeks shaven off, and clubs will bite your hand off for those 2 weeks in the end of August and into September. But it's incremental change. We have asked that we do a master fixtures list, and that is not being honoured.
Is it possible that, well, and you might see on Tuesday that Croke Park do have a draft fixture list, and that actually they're well aware of how you have to deal with county boards, and if you've got 32 county boards and you've got a couple of fixtures committees within each county then for football and hurling, you're dealing with a huge number of people and a huge number of personalities, and the people in Croke Park, the people at the top in Croke Park understand those personalities and the way that you maybe need to twist their arm, and maybe the way of twisting their arm isn't with pressure, knowing that the CPA are having a pop at them constantly and that they're just trying to settle things down and doing a lot of work behind the scenes.
Yeah, but like, I mean, what else is going to happen next year? There has to be chaos next year. I mean, if you're a county, if you're in a county that is competing in next year's reformed hurling championship, for example, if you're a Cork team, and if Cork were to advance to the quarterfinals of the football championship, right, you are in effect ruling out the entirety of May, June, July, and August. No. So that's fine if players know that, but it's the uncertainty. So how can you hand a player, a club player, a master fixtures list? And again, I go back to the most basic provision that this sporting body should be giving us is a fixtures list. So how can you give a player a fixtures list next year that maps out when he can? You can't, because it's always the uncertainty. It depends on your county team gets on. And that's what we're looking to define, lockdown dates for clubs so players can organise their training. I mean, 17 weeks between rounds in Cork, 23 weeks between rounds in Kerry. I mean, you could have two or three pre-season regimes there and still take a month off. Can you imagine the amount of injuries that were accumulated in that time period between games? It's just, you know, and I don't see anything changing here. Like, how can it change if there's always that uncertainty and that lack of lockdown weekends for clubs?
These are short careers for players, and as you say, next year coming, this is coming very quickly for players who are maybe 26, 27, who don't want to be hanging around. You get one shot on Tuesday, and who knows, maybe it does go well, and maybe the CCC listen to you and think, all right, we should sit down with these guys again. We are all working towards the same thing. But if not, and if Tuesday doesn't go well, and as you say, it's coming on the horizon very, very quickly, these changes, and it's only going to get worse, are you going to have to make contact with the membership of the CPA very quickly and figure out what sort of action you're going to take? And have you thought about how that action may be taken?
Yeah, as I said earlier, that's the power of the Club Players Association, is that we can link clubs in a very quick way. We've got a database. We've got links to 25,000 players who are spread across thousands of clubs, so we can get motions drafted through the clubs. We can use the democratic route, and that's the path forward. That's the only path forward. I don't think it's that leadership is going to come from the top. I think we must get clubs to stand up and say enough is enough, and we must bring motions that are probably not going to be liked by Croke Park, but that's the only way we're going to do it, is get the democracy working for us, the hundreds and the thousands of clubs, get these guys raising motions, sort out their own house, and that's really the only way out of this.
Derek, thanks a lot for taking the call. Maybe we might try and talk to you again on Tuesday evening after that meeting with the CCCC and see how it all went. Listening to that, Brian, it seems as though they really are on a collision course now, the CPA and the GAA. Your sense from club players, are they angry? Are they increasingly frustrated? Are they nearing some sort of an end point where they feel like they have to take some sort of action over the club calendar?
Yeah, certainly you can agree with all of the above, really. It's a real sense of frustration. But, you know, John mentioned earlier, maybe we are moving towards a stage where we need to split up the inter-county and the club scene and start the club scene later in the year, maybe from an August perspective. You know, because Derek mentioned, you know, the figures there in relation to 22 and 23 weeks of a gap. And, you know, I suppose if we're freeing up the month of April, for club championship, and look, realistically then we're going to shut down again then till August, so you're going to continue in that same format. And just, it was something that was quite glaring there. We're talking about April being free, and Colin and I were just talking about here, yet Sunday April 15th is down for the proposed Hurling League final next year. So I don't know how April's free there. I know it might be only two counties in that, but you know,
yeah, I think you have the 15th of April. I think we had the 25th of March, possibly.
Okay,
for
the first was down as the football final, and the Sunday April 15th. I read anyway this morning that that was when it was proposed. So that's not exactly playing out as they were making out during the week. But you know, maybe a situation where if the club start in August, you know, May, June, July could be put forward to the leagues in most counties then. You know, but then,
so you play the leagues without your inter-county players,
and you took the words out of my mouth, because then club managers need to understand that, and club you know, officials need to understand that the county players won't be available.
We had that problem in Clare where we tried to do that, but like, you have a team like Clonlara and a team like Cratlow who have bought five players on an inter-county panel, and suddenly they're in relegation in the league. So like, if we are doing that,
for the success.
If we are doing that, yeah, but their argument was, yeah, they are being punished for success, and you know, suddenly they're in the Division 2 of the league the following year, and you know, you're kind of looking at it, but like, you
can,
know, John,
can you not look at the greater picture in that and think, wow, our club is a massive success, look what we are giving to Clare as a county, well, and take the pride in that and just suck it up?
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, like, if they win a championship at the end of the year, nobody's going to care who won the league, like, and like, but, if they're all the better for that, like, I think the biggest, you know, Derek said it there, I think the biggest problem is the gap.
Yeah,
I play my club hurling and football with St. Bridges in Dublin, but obviously there's a keen interest in the Laois championships, and the hurling and football championships in Laois, the hurling starts the end of July normally, and the football starts the beginning of August. Yeah. And the hurling final was played last week, you know, so it's nearly done within 2 months, and the football final has been played next Sunday. So it's done, like, it's a really good system that it's known at the start of the year. Listen, the championships are starting in August, the start of August, and it gives really 2 months of condensed games. And, you know, lads aren't going back training in November, December. You're coming back training maybe February, March. You're going through the league. You have your county players for some of the games. But then, you know, Gaelic games is all about championship at the end of the day, you know, and it is a good system.
Yeah, like, we were talking outside, so a few different examples. So today you have the Kerry County semi-finals. Next week you have the Westmeath County semi-finals. You think how far Westmeath went in the championship compared to Kerry, but then you realise that Kerry Westmeath have a round-robin series, and you think, as a club player, well, I'd much prefer to be playing a round-robin series of club games rather than they have it in Kerry, where I know it's a funny sort of system with the setup down there, where it's straight knockout, as it is in Dublin, where it's straight knockout. I think down in Waterford, they're still don't have the county final for another couple of weeks in the football because the hurlers went so far. Every county is totally different.
Yeah, Clare only needed five weekends to run off a hurling championship. Six weekends to run off a hurling championship, whereas Matthew's case, you've 5 weekends to run off the group stages of it. So they're going to need probably 8. They're going to need 8 weekends. So, like, and that's the crux probably of the problem that the CPA have and what the GAA are looking at, in the sense that they are saying the county boards are renegade because they all need different amount of weekends to run the championship.
But I think if you can make the leagues a little bit more meaningful as well, and play them in the summer months, and it comes back to, you know, consistency and knowing when you're playing. I suppose that's the biggest frustration as a club player. You know, the counties go ahead and the fixtures for May and June for league matches, But you know, there's complete shutdown in all the clubs, you know, and there's no engagement in that. And
well, the clubs are looking and they're trying to find any excuse if they're going to be missing two or three inter-county players to get the game called off, which suddenly pushes everything back, and the fixtures master plan is straight out the window.
Yeah, and like, let's compare it to other sports. You know, you're guaranteed your fixtures list, and no matter what you're playing, if it's junior Z soccer or you know.
Well, Colin, on that, because I think you can probably tell us what your experience was like. So you said at the start you left the inter-county scene because maybe of the commitment that was required, you have a young family, you're trying to get your place in the team, maybe you decide actually there's a better way I can go with my life. But you don't step away from high level sport completely. You go and play in soccer with your local club, you end up playing Oscar Traynor with Clare, you win the Oscar Traynor Cup. Like, Oscar Traynor is pretty serious. It's elite of local level. I'd imagine the commitment there is quite high. Is playing local soccer, is it more straightforward than playing football and hurling?
Yeah, like, you know, it's very, in one sense it's very different straight away, because you know we have a game every weekend. So like, training, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, you arrive on, you do your hour, you know, an hour and a bit, you're out of there. You know, you have a game to, I suppose, rectify any problems you had the week before. But they trust the club game. So for instance, if we have an Oscar Traynor game in 2 weeks' time, we might have a club game next weekend. So like, you're going to train with your club up to that game, and then you're released for a week, you play your Oscar Traynor match, and then you're back to your club again. So like, I can't see that being mirrored in the GA scene, you know, like where that's going to happen. But
but that's what it, ultimately, if we go back to the start of Intercounty, that's probably what it should have been. It's just gone way too far the other way.
Yeah, and at what point does it become, you know, at what point is too much training overtraining, and at what point is it training for the sake of training? At what time is it an intercounty manager justifying the job that they're doing and the pressure that they're under? And like, I think if you ask every club manager, it's the fear of not being prepared for the first round of championship. Like, they start training in January for the fear that they will lose that first round of championship. So if you knew that you were starting championship in August, then suddenly it's a, you know, relax. You know, you don't have to start training until March or April. And then suddenly a club, you know, you have your whole winter, you start in March or April, you play your league, you use your league as a building block for championship, and you know you're starting and you're going to finish it in one clean go.
You can trust your county players as well, are up to speed. One of the massive frustrations I had when they come back after Offaly, you get back into heavy training again and you're running and, you know, you're doing fitness tests with the clubs, and it's absolute hardship. I can see all the heads nodding here.
Absolute madness.
Yeah.
How many club games would, say, your soccer team play? How many games would be in your league season?
We have 20 and, or 18, sorry, there's 10 teams in the league, so it's, you know, 18
games.
And then you have Munster Junior. We're relatively successful, thank God. So you have Munster Junior, you have FAI, so you could have, and then you've Cup. So like, we've won the Cup the last couple of years, that's 5 games, so that's 23. A good run in Munster Junior, you could have another 6, 29, and you know, you could have a run in the FAI, so you could have 4 or 5 games in that.
So you could have 34, 35
games. You could have 34, 35 games. They start their season, they play a game every Wednesday, Sunday. While their light is there, there's a game Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday for 8 weeks in a row, or sorry, for 4 weeks in a row. You've 8 league games out of the way in 4 weeks.
So you probably wouldn't train during those weeks, would you? You just play your games.
You're not training, you're playing games. You do your month of pre-season and then you start into it and you're playing games and you're using the games for fitness.
And in terms of your life outside of sport then, if you want to go on holidays with the family for 2 weeks, do you just go, all right, I'm going to miss a couple of games. The right back might miss a couple of games next
week. That is exactly how it works. You know, you might have lads who are going on stags, there might be weddings on the Saturday night, and they might say to the manager, listen, you know, I'm away that Saturday. Somebody else comes in to take your place. You miss that weekend, and if you're good enough, you're back the following weekend, and you're going to get a run of games over a season because there's injuries and everything else that goes with it.
Yeah.
Isn't that why you play sport though, for enjoyment?
That's it.
You know,
exactly.
I think the enjoyment element, look, obviously we do enjoy it. You wouldn't be doing it if you didn't, but it's definitely been diminished.
Yeah. But you're looking at the rugby there and look at soccer, you know, as Colin said there, you do your pre-season and it's maintenance all through the year, whereas Gaelic games, it's like you're doing 5 or 6 pre-season. You do your pre-season, you play your Burn Cup, and then you're into the league, and then you could have 3 week of a gap in the league, so you're nearly, you know, you're 2 weeks heavy training. You have the end of the league, which is another pre-season, then you play the first round championship and you might be playing again for 6 weeks where it's another like pre-season, you know. So it's where's the continuity? We just want to play games, you know.
That's it, yeah. Exactly, that's that point exactly. So I think when you take your hat off and you're as a club player, what do you want? You want meaningful games and you want to know when your championship is starting. As a club manager, you want to know when your championship is going to be on so you can prepare your team to be ready for championship. At the moment they don't have that. That's what the CPA are looking for, that's what club players are looking for, that's what the club manager is looking for. I think what we're seeing here is you're nearly getting to a separation from an inter-county player and a club player, and it's getting further and further away. Inter-county players, their demands are so high, the commitment is so high, it pales in comparison to what the club player does.
But Matt, I'm saying the inter-county season needs to be more condensed too.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, just, you know, as I said, we want to play games, and you know, that's, we love playing them week in, week out, but you know, the 6 week block between games, it's frustrating, it's hard to maintain, and your life is still being dictated by it.
The minute inter-county manager sees a gap of 4 weeks, it's, we have to train hard for two of them. You know, like it's just ingrained in them that we, you know, okay, we'll train 5 nights this week, we'll train 5 nights the following week, and you know, we'll give you the last week, we'll have a rest week last week, we'll only do 4 nights. You know, it's kind of like, it's crazy.
But even look at the length of the pre-season for inter-county. You know, let's be honest, most teams are going back in November. You have November, December. I know there might be, you know, the O'Byrne Cup or Walsh Cup or whatever it is, Waterford, Christopher and Munster, you know, you have those competitions, but really you train through those. They're really for the training panels. So you have 3 months of absolute hell for leather, you know, weights, running, and it's absolutely crazy as well. Like, let's be honest, we're amateur, you know, and I was talking to Zach too, he came to our school, Portlaoise CBS, a couple of times because he used to pass pupil, and he'd be talking about their pre-season in the Aussie rules, and it lasts 6 weeks. Now, it's hell on earth for 6 weeks, but that's the end of the hard running, you know, for the whole season after that.
Brian, they're playing like 22 games over, what, 22 weekends or 24 weekends, and the continuity of it.
Yeah, and it's maintenance after that, as we spoke a few times. But we in the GA, it's kind of like, oh no, we'll flog them every opportunity again. They're too soft, you know.
I'd actually love to see how competitive an inter-county team would be if they said, we'll start back training in February. Yeah. I actually don't think they would be any less competitive in championship in May than there would be if they skipped November, December and January, if they were able to work away in their own.
We made the point that if you look at Dublin and Mayo, Kilkenny, teams that have a longer season that play until September, they don't go back training until January, mid-January, end of January. They go through the league building their fitness week game after game, but they're still completely competitive. They're winning games, they're losing some games, but by championship they're up to the same place they were a year ago. Whereas if Wexford, for example, trained hard from November to January, are we any further along the road than that Mayo or Dublin team, say, or comparison team? I don't think so.
Well, if you take one thing from today, Matthew, you go down and tell Davey, I'll be back in February, it'll be grand, I'll be peaking in August,
back up on radio again.
What we might do is we'll take a quick break and then we'll wrap this up in a few minutes. But we're still going on with our Saturday panel. We have Colin Ryan, John O'Loughlin, Brian Carroll and Matthew O'Hanlon, and we've been getting a big reaction, particularly to Derek Kavanagh, who is the CPA's fixtures coordinator. They have one meeting with the CCCC on Tuesday with their proposals for a master fixture calendar. They had hoped, I think, this would be an ongoing dialogue. I think it's such a massive task because there's so many different angles in terms of dual players, dual counties, in trying to figure out some sort of a master fixture plan. But it seems they've been told they're getting one meeting, they don't know how long it'll last, and that's it, and then off they go. How many of you are members of the CPA?
Yeah, I am.
John, you're letting the side down. And you a dual club player. So everything I was saying to Derek Kavanagh, everything they've said from right at the start when Liam Griffin was on and Anthony Moyles, that they wanted to work with the GAA. They didn't want this to be a collision course. They had no plans for if they didn't get what they wanted, what sort of stand they would take. But listening to the language that Derek Kavanagh was using there, speaking on behalf of the CPA, it seems, Brian, as if that collision course is coming very quickly. If it comes to taking a stand, if somehow you can unite the club players throughout the county, do you think club players would be willing to go on strike?
No. No, I don't think so. I just think there's too many personalities, there's too many different fractions at play here, and I just cannot see a consensus where everybody's going to go on strike. It might be a great idea in theory. We couldn't even get it at GPA level for the inter-county players back in around 2003 when they tried it. There might be certain ways of showing your displeasure, but I can never see that it'll end up being in all-out strike.
I think there's no guarantee that there's going to be an outcome from striking, and that's probably the reason that most people won't get involved. If they knew that by striking you're going to get definitive action and we're going to have our master fixture list, I think you get more more people to buy in, but there's no guarantee that
it'll happen. Nathan, I think that it's going to cost more than a strike, or needs to be more than a strike. I think there has to be radical changes within the GAA structures. I think, like, with the football, until they get rid of the provincial series as part of the All-Ireland Championship, I don't think it's going in the right direction, because the inequality, some provinces have 6 counties, some have 8. Like this year, for example, if Roscommon were beaten in the Connacht final, just they weren't, did a great win, but they would have won one match and lost one match in the provincial series. Yeah, what round of the qualifiers were they in?
Probably 3.
Round 4. And
right,
just say, for example, I'm just my own county, and I'm, because we won a match and lost a match, what round of the qualifiers were we in?
One.
Like, I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And there's examples of that every single year. And it's just the inequalities that are there. We've some of the two of the greatest games in the world, hurling and football. They're incredible games, but I think they could be so much better if they were run better,
and
like
John,
if the structures were better.
Back to what I was saying earlier about the hurling structures being something similar, that you have to have standalone competitions. And then that can be related to the soccer that you're talking about as well, Colin, where, you know, you have your cup and you have your league, and, you know, the Leinster Championship, I think, and Munster Championship, and the same for the football equivalents, they're fantastic championships, and they are what they are. You know, they're knockout championship, and I do think we made a mistake in the hurling going to run it off on a league basis. And I think it should have continued as knockout championships and run your All-Ireland series on an even keel for all counties.
I think even just a small thing, like, you know, the Munster semi-finals have to be played on 2 different weekends, which means that you're kind of, you've something on both weekends. What's wrong with playing a Munster semi-final on a Saturday evening and a Sunday of the one weekend, and making it a kind of a big thing? And
like with quarterfinals this year,
it's something even as small as that. But like, it's revenue, it's TV coverage, it's everything else. And I think what we haven't really said today is that I watch most of my GAA action in the winter watching club hurling and club football championships. Like, I think the package that they have there to sell is phenomenal. I think, like, Air Sport even, have the Limerick Championship on at the minute. And they had, you know, the Kilkenny Championship on. And they're brilliant games to watch. Like, they're so different. And I'd say, if you ask everybody around the country, you know, do they watch them? You know, so many people turn them on and watch it.
Because they mean something.
Yeah.
And this is, I guess, one of the issues that could develop with the hurling, and has developed in certain areas with the Leinster Championship and Dublin's dominance, is, like, why would you sit down to watch Dublin now in a Leinster football game, where you're just thinking, is this going to be 10 points, 11 points? Whereas you go, and as you say, Ayr and TG Carr are showing the club games. You know that this means absolutely everything. Both sides are going into it. It's a semi-final, which means it's going to be pretty tight. It's entertaining. And ultimately, it does matter. And we have too much football, we have too much sport that doesn't matter, and we don't spend enough time with the stuff that actually does.
The amount of Clare people that went up to watch Ballyhea, neutrals who went up to watch Ballyhea because they were the underdog and because they had never got there, was phenomenal. Like, you know, and they forget about that, you know, that it's such a great thing. And it's, you know, it's,
the club is the essence of the GAA. It's the reason we all play. It's because it's your locality, the people you grew up with. It means so much to the community, and that's what people latch onto. And it's exactly as you said, Nathan, people want meaningful games where there's actually something at stake, and that's something that's lost in a lot of the inter-county season.
With the way it's developing with the CPA, and who knows what's going to happen over the next few weeks, I do wonder, the inter-county player is going to be in a difficult position. Do you feel you're in a difficult position right now?
I suppose we're wearing two hats, really. You know, we're a club player and an inter-county player. We want to achieve it both. So obviously, when you go back and play with your club, you want a scenario where your club player is getting the best out of the game and enjoying it and having meaningful games and knowing exactly when to play, and managers are in the same boat. And from an inter-county perspective, you want a realistic chance of winning something meaningful. And the new championship gives, I suppose, a lot of teams a chance to do that. But there has to be a way that it can all work together. And I think we're not going to get there until the CPA and the GAA get into a room and start working together. And it seems as if that's a long way off.
And again, every club manager is different. So if you go back to your manager at St James's and say, listen, I'm bloody wrecked, I've had 2 hard weeks of inter-county, I know this is an important game, but I just need a break. Do you get a positive response, or is there an overwhelming sort of community pressure of, well, you're a star man, we made you, you got to be out here?
That's it. Like, you know, and ultimately, you don't want to let down your club. Your club players, your fellow teammates are waiting for you the whole year to come back and play with them, and they're expecting a lot for you. You're a leader of that team, and if you're not there, that's a symbol to them that, no, this doesn't mean anything. You know, and I. it wouldn't be receptive, possibly not, put it that way.
How do you manage to play inter-county football and club hurling and football?
Look, Matthew does the same. He plays inter-county hurling and club hurling and football, but the games I love playing. I generally don't go back hurling with the club until the inter-county football season is over. And then, look, accommodating managers, I think there's the dual player, it's unique. I think so many players around the country who probably don't play hurling and football because managers aren't accommodating. And if they are, you know, I think it's very easy to do. And it's great to be able to play both.
A few texts in. Lads, why not play the GAA like the soccer internationals? The players leave their club when their county needs them and the club games stop. Play two county games and then everyone goes back to their clubs. It's kind of what happens already, except it's that when they leave, they don't come back for about 4 months.
The horse is already bolted on. Like, you know, the inter-county machine is a money making machine.
I think every year is a World Cup year. I think if you're going to do soccer, I think
you could have 100 scenarios. You know, 50 people could text in with 50 different ways of doing things that I think probably would be better than the current systems, and I think it has to be brought in sooner rather than later, because it's getting to a point where players inter-county and club are really at boiling point.
Yeah, but I understand there's a serious sense of frustration. It's probably because I'm getting older and looking at the other side of things too. We have to understand the nature of you know, Congress and conventions and all these, the delegates that are going up voting. There's a whole different world to this that we probably don't understand, the players. And, you know, some of the proposals that are on the table and the mood in the room, how it can sway votes and everything like that. And some county boards, you know, give the autonomy to their delegates to make the decisions on the day. So, you know, we get very frustrated when we can't see change.
Have any of you ever been to a county board meeting?
I was just going to say, on that note, like, you know, we put forward a delegate, and every club obviously puts forward a delegate, and they make the decisions really at county board level, you know, because they have the votes. But there's delegates in Clare who are voting because they have the power rather than representing their club. I think that is completely wrong. Yeah. You know,
that then makes it all the more important that you do have representation, firstly in the GPA, which is there for the inter-county players, but also now for the club players, for the CPA, so that you have a strong voice within Croke Park and is asking these awkward questions. It's all very well saying the county boards are a law unto themselves. Well, somebody somewhere down the line has to take that to hand and say, we're taking back control. The CPA now have as strong a voice as the county boards do. This is what they want. This is the route we're going.
I think the CPA and the GPA bridge the disconnect between the top brass and the GA and the grassroots player. And I think that's where you get the likes of Congress, where you have people making decisions that aren't close enough to the actual reality of the game at local level. And that's where decisions are made that are probably wrong and shouldn't be put in. But it's a scenario that's the way the change happens in GA.
I think Derek needs, and I think he, in fairness to him, he sounds like he's very determined, and I think the CPA need to remain determined, because at first the GPA wasn't exactly welcomed either. They were seen as, you know, a change to the old rear guard. It took a long time for the GA to buy into it, and now look at the situation where actually the GPA has come under the wing of the GA. Maybe because that's why the GA look at it, it's better to have them inside the tent than outside. And you know, if the Club Players Association continues to fight the good fight, and you know, the majority of people are out there, and particularly the players, see the worth and the merit in what they're trying to do, I think in the long run, I think it'll pay off.
I'll be interested to see what comes out of Tuesday's meeting, because the CPA, I understand in a way the way the GEA look at it, because the CPA will come with a proposal, a very well thought out proposal, but there's 5-6 everything you move, there's a knock on effect within the GEA, and how do you answer that and how do you fix that? Like, we've one text in here saying gaps between games at intercounty level is a problem. Take Connacht football, 7 teams, starts first week in May, finishes in mid-July. It's absolutely crazy. I think it was 2 years ago Mayo may have gone to New York in the first week in May. Roscommon, by the time they played their first game, there was something like 4 or 5 counties who were out of the qualifiers before Roscommon had even played a game in the Connacht Championship. So you've provinces, then you go down into the counties, you've got fixtures committees. It's not an easy fix, but I think the CPA just want to be in and go, let's have some sort of overall plan where we can at least start to work it. We've had a big reaction to it. It's been great to have you all in. Colin, you're going to keep going with the soccer, I guess.
Yeah, we'll give it one more year and then we'll see how things go.
Matthew, when are you back in training then? You're probably in already, are you?
No, Davey's been letting us off for a while. Probably won't get back together now until the end of November, I'd say.
Yeah, John, you're going back in with Leash again. You've got a new manager?
Yeah, looking forward to getting going again. You know, there's always great optimism with a new manager, and he comes with a great pedigree. So look, we can't wait to just get working under him and buy in from him.
How does that first meeting go? Because we had Pete McGrath on the line, and when he was in Fermanagh, I remember he gave a quote saying that, oh, you know, we want to win an Ulster title, and I think we should go out and we should shout that, and we should let people know that Fermanagh are back and that we have intent. And I was making the point that it's very difficult to go into Louth and say, we're going to win a provincial title, lads, because of this Dublin juggernaut. When you're going into Laois, a county who have contended over the last decade or so, or even just before at provincial level, can you have that sort of aspirations? Can you go in and say, lads, we can win a provincial title?
Yeah, it's difficult, but, you know, Laois have fallen down the ladder, and it's hugely disappointing, but I think he has to be realistic. You know, unfortunately, we're down in Division 4 next year, so I think primary goal has to be, listen, get out of Division 4 into Division 3. And I don't think Laois can hinge their season next year on winning a Leinster title, because is it likely with Dublin where they are? No. So I think Laois have to say, listen, All-Ireland quarter-final, that should be Laois's goal, you know, and really work
super
from there.
Eight.
Super 8, you know, and that's really what the goal should be. And let's be realistic about it, you know, yeah. And that's what people have to be.
It opens up a window where the league is probably more important to a lot of teams in football in particular.
Yeah, it. But the leagues in football they're brilliant, because you like for like every week, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and they're hugely competitive. Everyone wants to get up a division. No one wants to go down a division, and every match is huge. And, you know, if you had them matches throughout the summer, how much better would the championship be?
Yeah,
you know?
That is a whole other ball game we're getting into. I think we'll be here till 6 o'clock if we start fully getting into championship structures again. Colin, John, Brian, Matthew, thanks a million for joining us this afternoon.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.